This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Come on, give God your best shout tonight. Your very best shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Open your Bible tonight to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Again, all month we've been talking about the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. We're looking at the last 34 years of our church. 34 years ago this weekend, Kim and I had the privilege to come here and plant Church on the Rock. 35 people met with us in the St. Peter's Library. And out of that, it's been a journey for 34 wonderful years. And I look over the past and I can't help but thank God for His faithfulness. And we looked all month at the faithfulness of God, what it is, what it'll do, how it will strengthen you when you look at the faithfulness of God, right? It'll give you hope. It will give you encouragement. It will empower you. Well, we gave you the illustration on how that David, 17 years old, a young teenage boy, facing Goliath. Goliath was an obstacle in his way. Every one of us here tonight, we have obstacles, don't we? In our way. We're all in a battle of some kind. We're all fighting the good fight of faith. Well, how do you overcome those obstacles in your way? Well, David, he remembered, he had a revelation, and he was rejoicing in the faithfulness of God. He said, you know what, Goliath, the God who helped me kill the lion, the God who helped me kill the bear, is going to help me chop your head off. You know, when you begin to look at the faithfulness of God, it changes the way you talk. Oh, don't miss that. It changes the way you talk. If you're focusing on the faithfulness of God, you'll talk faith. Amen. Not doubt, not fear, not worry, but you'll have a positive confession, a positive declaration. You'll be releasing faith in your words. You know, and I think back over 34 years, you know, and how we navigate. We talked about how you and I navigate the seasons of our life by looking at the faithfulness of God. Because we all need a rock to stand on. We all need a solid foundation to build our life on. When everything can change is changing, we need something that is unchanging to build our life upon. And so, you know, I've been reminiscing all month, and I've been sharing stories with you, but I can remember, you know, 34 years ago, we came here to plant Church on the Rock. We left our denomination. We left our family. We left our security. We left our income. We left our hospital insurance. We left it all. And we came here to plant Church on the Rock. When we did that, you know, it was kind of really, in the beginning, really bad. And the fact that, you know, people thought we were crazy and we were leaving the familiar for the unfamiliar. You know, it's real important that it looked like in the natural that it was bad, but then it got worse. Because in February, you know, we birthed this church in November, but in February, Stephen, our youngest son, was born. He was born premature. Things got worse. You might be in a situation tonight where it's going from bad to worse. What do you do? I mean, here's my wife giving birth premature to a baby boy. We had no hospital insurance. We left all that with our denomination. We had no money in the bank. We had no idea what the salary would be. There was no salary. And so there we were. Things were bad. It seemed like in the natural. And then it got even worse. What do you do when things are bad and it looks like it's getting worse? You look at the faithfulness of God. So as we were facing that, many of you know the story. You know, Stephen, they said he wouldn't live. They even told me, don't even name him. The doctor said, don't worry about it. He won't make it through the night. But you know, God was faithful. And God was there. And you know, he was at St. Louis Children's Hospital. Kim was in St. Luke's I was out at our house. We were renting a house in O'Fallon on Highway P. It was a rainy day. It was dark. You know, we left everything. In the natural, that was bad enough. But then it got worse where we have a church of about 50 people. We have no insurance. We have no salary. We have no building. We have no office. We have no computer. What's a computer? You know, we have none of that. But we have God. And he'd been faithful other times. We knew he'd be faithful here. I'll never forget, I was laying on the bed and I was praying. Kim was in the hospital. She called me. She said, Dave, if you get up now and go, lay hands on Stephen in the incubator and prophesy over him, he's going to live and not die. God's going to honor that. So, you know, it was very stressful. It was bad. It got worse. And so I got in the car. It was raining. And guess what? I got a ticket on the way for speeding down to go to the hospital. So here we are, no money, no insurance, 50 people, no building, left security, left our friends, our family, our denomination, left all of that bad enough. Then it got worse, and then it even got worse. It's raining, it's dim, so I just got a ticket. They say my new son is not going to live, not going to make it. My wife is in the hospital with toxemia poison. And so how do you get through? How do you navigate through those times? You navigate those times by looking at the faithfulness of God. Because, you know, when that was going on, you know, I remembered that when Kim and I were in college, I remember that when we were in college, the first 2 years we got student loans. And we both agreed we weren't going to get a student loan to finish college. We were going to believe God. And I can remember that we did an internship. You know, we went home for the summer, and we went back to school. We were married, lived on the marriage dorms on the campus. And Kim said, what are we going to do? You know, we've been home visiting for the summer. We're going back to school. We've been working. We don't have any money. We agree we're not going to borrow any money or get a student loan. What are we going to do? And you know what? Down on the inside of me, I just knew. I had a confidence God was going to take care of us. That God was a faithful God. And if he's faithful to call you, he's faithful to do it. Amen? So see, I'm recalling, I'm reflecting, I'm remembering this. So I remember we packed up our little car, our little Ford Torino, and we drove back to Dallas. And all the way, you know, Kim said, you know, what are we going to do? I said, you know, dear, we're going to act like it's so. When it ain't so, so it can become so. So there we were, registration. We unpacked, got back into the marriage dorm where we'd been the previous 2 years, and I had to stand in line for registration. I'm standing in line with my papers filled out for the next semester. I don't got a dime. I don't got nothing. And I'm standing in line. And, you know, as I'm standing in line, my time gets up to the registration. The registrar says, okay, these are your classes. Yeah. You're going to take this. Yeah. You're going to do that. Yeah, okay, here's the bill. And I said, I don't have any money. I just said that. They didn't laugh at me. This is God, see? This is the faithfulness of God. This is what helped me through when we planted this church 34 years ago at the inception. And so they looked at me, and here's what they said. Mr. Blunt, come with me over here to the office. They took me out of line. They took me over there. They sat me down, and they had a secretary there and for registration. And long story short, they got us a grants from the government that not only paid my books for the whole year, paid Kim's way, her books, her tuition, for the whole year. We went the last year, and we had grants that paid for everything. Come on, somebody, give a little praise. So, you know, I'm reflecting on the faithfulness of God. Do you get the picture through the story? You have the same things in your life. You're in a battle tonight. You're in a season tonight. There are obstacles in your... What do? You don't quit. You don't give up. You don't retreat. You don't back off. You don't make a concession. You don't shrink your dream. You reflect. You remember. You remind. You muse. You meditate. You declare. You focus on. You feed on the faithfulness of God. He helped me with the lion. He helped me with the bear. God, you're going to help me with this obstacle today. It's gone from bad to worse, but God, you are at your best when my circumstances are at their worst. Can we give God a praise tonight? Come on, let's give him a praise. Amen. You know, 34 years here, different obstacles, different seasons, navigating through. You know, I remember, you know, many of you know the story. Kim was diagnosed with a very bad could be disease at a certain period of these last 34 years in the early years. And she would get paralyzed on the side of her face and her body. It would just be paralyzed. And we went to doctors up here, and she took tests, and they said, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, here's the symptoms. They took the test. At that time, there was still the Oral Roberts, at Oral Roberts, the City of Faith, the hospital that was there at Oral Roberts University. So we had some friends. They set up an appointment. I took her down to Tulsa. I'll never forget this. Took her down to Tulsa, and we waited, went to see the doctor, and the doctor gave her a test. He diagnosed. He looked at her. We're sitting in his office. The doctor comes in. He has his white coat on, and he's behind the desk, and he says, okay, Dave and Kim, you could have this. You could have that. It was all bad. You could have this. You could have a brain tumor. You could have this disease. You could have that. The tests show this. The tests say there's something there. You're being paralyzed on half of your face and half of your body. It comes and it goes. There's something there. Now, we can continue with the tests, and we can continue on this path. Or he said, he got up. He walked around the desk. He sat on the desk. Now, see, this is what helped me through other battles. He sat on the desk. He looked at us, and he said, we can agree and pray and ask God for a miracle. Oh my goodness. And so what happened? We prayed, we agreed, God healed her, those symptoms left, and they never came back. Okay, now what is that? That's the lion and the bear. You have the very same thing, and the list can go on and on and on. I remember when Kim and I, see, I'm giving you stories and examples in my life that you have the same kind of stories in your life, and whatever you're facing tonight, don't be discouraged. Don't lose hope. Don't settle for less. Remind yourself of how God was faithful then. God will help you now. When you're at your worst, God is at his best. We were created to need our Creator. That's worth writing down. That's worth tweeting. We were created. Pastor, I need God. You should. Pastor, tonight, I'm telling you, for me, I need God right now in my life more than I've ever needed God. More than I've ever needed God, I need God tonight in my life. But that doesn't discourage me, because that means I'm in a position for a breakthrough. Because you and I, the human race, we were created to need our Creator. We were created. Think about this statement. We were created to need. Everyone say need. We were created to need our Creator. If you don't need God, you're out of His will. Oh, praise God. Can we give Him praise? Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, you're setting us all up for a breakthrough. Turn around. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We give you praise for it tonight. Thank you, Lord. I remember, you know, when Kim and I, we went through college, and to finish everything, we had to do an internship. We did it in northern Iowa. It was during the summer. And right in the middle of the summer, I told Kim, the pastor there where we were doing the internship, he said, you guys can have a job here if you want it. You know, when the internship is done, I'd love for you to be our youth pastor and join the staff. We prayed about it. We didn't feel like that was the right fit for us. So Kim said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now? What are we going to do? I said, and we're going to believe God. And again, down deep on the inside, I had a confidence that by the end of the summer, we were going to have a full-time position on a staff, the right church, doing the right thing. So all summer, Kim and I, we confess, we believe, we thank God, we say, Father, I believe, I receive, and thank you for the right position in the right church and the right staff for our journey. Well, the whole summer went by, and we're at the very last week, and we lived in the basement of the Sunday school superintendent. He had 6 kids. We lived in their basement and made $50 a week. There was no gas allowance. There was no nothing allowance. And we had to live on that $50 a week. And we lived in the basement during that intro. God provided. Thank you for your enthusiasm. God provided. Are you listening to me? So when I'm faced with millions in this church every month, I think of that. God, you provided for us at 50, a married couple, $50 a week, living in the Sunday school superintendent's basement. God, you helped us then. You'll help us with $1 million budget at Church on the Rock every month. You see how it works, family? So, you know, we're at the last week and we're at the last day, and we've loaded up our car. We put all of our stuff, didn't have much, put it in the trunk. We still didn't have a position. If I'm lying, I'm frying. And so it's the last day. We got the car loaded up, and we don't have a position yet. We don't have a place to go. We're going to go back and live with our parents. You know, we don't know what we're going to do. And so all of a sudden, seriously, they had what they call a landline. In his house, the Sunday school superintendent, he had downstairs, he had like, you know, a snack bar. And right by the snack bar, he had a phone on the wall. It's called a landline. You know, one of those green phones? Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about, okay? I can still remember this. When I'm faced with challenges today as your pastor in this world, with everything that's going on, you got obstacles, I got obstacles. What am I doing? I'm remembering these things. I'm remembering the faithfulness of God. And I'll never forget, where it was the last day, our car is packed. We're leaving that day. The phone rings. Someone from upstairs hollers down and says, "Pastor Dave?" "Yeah." "You got a phone call from a pastor so-and-so." I didn't know who he was. I took the phone, and it was a pastor. He said, "Hey, I heard someone told me you're da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, where are you going?" I said, "Well, we really don't know where we're going, but we're leaving today. We're going to live with our parents until we find a place." He said, "I'm right on the way." He said, "Would you stop and can I interview you today?" He hired us that weekend. It was in Ames, Iowa, Iowa State University campus. I mean, awesome. Youth group of 200. Oh, in a church that was 600. I mean, it was the happiest 2 years thus far in Kim and I's ministry. It was awesome. What do I do when I'm faced with obstacles? I reflect. I remember. I rejoice. The God who helped me with the lion and the bear will help me tonight. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord. He's faithful. Hallelujah. So we better get into Scripture after all those stories, right? Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident. Oh, praise God. In the Lord and do good. We already talked about that, right? How to trust in the Lord. The word trust means have a rested mind. How do you grow in your trust? By feeding on the faithfulness of God. By looking at his nature, characteristics, you build trust as you focus on his faithfulness. So it says trust on, but then it says do good. We looked at that. You know, when you see a need, fill it. Right? We have opportunities the holiday season to do good for people. Boy, let's seize the opportunity, Church on the Rock. So it says, do good, you'll dwell in the land, and look, feed on his what? Now, have we been scriptural all month? Right, we've been talking about this, right, church? Feed, not on CNN or Fox, you know, feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be what? Fed. So you have a promise and you have a premise. In other words, if you want to be fed, if you want God to feed you, then you're going to have to feed on his faithfulness. And the word fed there means to be content and satisfied. If I want to live rested, fulfilled, not stressed out, not unhappy, not jealous, not envious, not coveting. If I want to learn to rejoice where I'm at and be content where I'm at, have goals, but be happy where I'm at. Not this thing like, well, you know, when we get that, then I'll be happy. No, no, no. Happiness comes before that thing. I had a coach for a year, some of you know, a mental toughness coach, and his name was Jason. And I had him for a year, and he does it for the Blues, and he does it for the Cardinals, and he does it for the Astros, and he does it for all different kinds of people, business people, and he was my mental coach. And I remember one time I met with him, and he asked me, "Dave, which comes first, success or happiness?" I said, "What?" He said, "Dave, which comes first, success or happiness?" I said, "Happiness comes first." He says, "Right answer, right answer." See, folks, if I'm not happy tonight, getting something else won't make me happy. Boy, that's worth coming to Church on the Rock on a Wednesday night right there. Amen. So notice, and feed on his faithfulness, and that's the premise, and you'll be fed. That's the promise. Y'all got that? Okay, now, you and I want you to go with me, if you would, in your Bible. This is real important, Jeremiah 31, verse 3. You and I have to answer core questions. We have to answer core questions. If you and I are going to finish strong, if you and I are going to be stable and strong and hold our course and finish at the end, and if you and I are going to grow in God and enjoy his faithfulness and feed on his faithfulness and meditate on his faithfulness, and if you and I are going to have a rested mind, we have to answer core questions. Everybody say core questions. Okay? You know, as a parent, Kim and I, we answered our kids growing up their core questions. In other words, you have to answer these questions correctly to activate your faith. Core questions, major questions, core questions that have to be answered and answered correctly to activate your faith. First question, does God really love me? With all the wrong and all the mistakes and all the mishaps and all the promises and broken promises I've given God, and I'm not okay, and I'm scarred and I'm marred and I'm unfaithful and I miss it and I blow it and I got all these habits, but does God still really love me? The core questions have to be answered. I'm going to give you four tonight. They have to be answered, and they have to be answered correctly in order to activate your faith. You with me, family? Are you leaning in? Okay, so let's answer the first question, okay? Yes, God loves me. In fact, say it with me. Yes, God loves me, okay? He's faithful in his love. Let's look at the verse. The Lord appeared from of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with what? An everlasting love. You know, we had to tell our kids growing up, guys, you do things that don't make us happy, but it never stops us from loving you. Same way with our Heavenly Father. Your faith can't work without love. You have to be grounded in God's faithful love. Okay? So he says, the Lord appeared to me from old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with a everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, how does he draw us to him? Not by beating us, not by pointing out all of our faults. How does he draw us? Through his loving kindness. So through by loving kindness, I've drawn you, and I continued what? My faithfulness to you. So he's faithful, but in what? In loving you and me. He's never unfaithful. All the times I've blown it, at Church on the Rock, you're at a safe place. You can't do anything to get God to stop loving you. God is faithful. What's he faithful in? His love. So we answer the first core question, no matter what I do, get drunk, get high, take drugs, you know, steal, whatever, you know, make promises and don't keep them, unfaithful, whatever, it's okay to not be okay in the kingdom of God. You know, we're not saying we're all supposed to go out and do those things, but we are saying when we do it, God's still faithful. He doesn't retract his love. He doesn't threaten us with his love. Am I connecting with anybody tonight? So, you know, we need to be developed in his faithfulness in the area that he's faithful always in his love towards us. Oh, my goodness. All right? Number two, look with me in Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 11. Here's a second core question that has to be answered for us to activate our faith. You understand what I mean by that statement, right? That if I don't answer these right, my faith won't work. If I don't think God loves me, my faith won't work, because faith works by love. Second question, core question you have to answer correctly is this. Does God keep his promises? Does God keep his promises? Number one, does God love me? Yes, unconditionally, continually, and faithfully. Number two, does God, Pastor, it's taken longer than what I thought. Pastor, it didn't happen the way that I thought it was going to happen. I thought God was going to do it this way. That's where you got to trust Him in everything. I thought it was going to come this way through that person and this method, and it didn't. What do? You trust in His faithfulness. And you answer the core question, does God keep His promises? And the answer is yes. So the first answer is what? Yes. And the second answer is what? Yes. God keeps His promises. Look here. In the next verse we're going to go to, we're going to read this one, but then we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I'm telling the guys downstairs. The counsel of the Lord, that's the counsel of the Lord, that's the word of the Lord. His counsel is His word, His promises. The counsel of the Lord standeth for a little bit. Once in a while. Old Testament. Bible times. In the 50s. No. Forever, the thoughts of His heart are faithful to all generations. Now, let's look at this other verse, if they could bring it up for me, that I gave it to them, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, the Amplified Version. If we are faithless, we do not believe, we gave up, it took too long, didn't come when we thought it should, and we're untrue to Him, He still remains true. He still remains true, and what? Oh, Femme, don't you love the word? He remains true, and what? Faithful to His. Does man keep their promises? No. Does man always love me? No. But the core question that's got to be answered and answered correctly to activate our faith is we got to believe that God loves me, yes, faithfully. Number two, that God keeps His word. I believe that. Yes, He's faithful to His word. I have to believe it, that God keeps His promises. Takes longer than I want it to take. Doesn't happen when I want it to happen. Usually doesn't come through the person I think it's going to come through. But God keeps His word. So you have to answer that question. Does God keep His promises? Tell me, church. Yes. Yes. Okay, look what it says. If we're faithless, and I've been, do not believe. And there are times in my life where I was in faith, and then I was out of faith. I had the faith switch on, and then I turned it off, like Brother Hagin would talk about. And we're untrue to Him. God remains faithful to His word. And look at this. And His righteous, what, church? Character. Now remember, I told you that when you look at His character, it gives you a rested mind. People will let you down. We let each other down, but God will never let us down. We break our word, and we don't mean to or want to. We forget things. We misplace things. We misappropriate things. But God never does. God keeps His promises, and He's faithful to His character no matter what I do or don't do. Can we give God praise? Come on, somebody. Give the Lord praise. We're getting stronger. Everyone say, core questions that have to be answered correctly to activate my faith. He's faithful in His love, and He's faithful in His word. Talk about the faithfulness of God, but we're bringing it down. He's faithful in His love. I've had people love me. I've had people, you've had people love you. You've had people say to you, I'm behind you all the way. And then you look back and you say, yeah, you're so far behind me. I can't see y'all. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? God's not that way. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So then number three, the third question is this. It has to be answered. Does God have a purpose for my life? Does God have a purpose for my life? That has to be answered. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Does God love me? Yes, faithfully. Does God keep His promises? Yes, faithfully. Does God really? You see, you can go to our growth track classes, small group, on Sunday morning, and discover your purpose. God has a purpose for every one of us, and God's faithful with his purpose for our lives. He never takes it back. He never gives up on us. He's faithful. Look what the Bible says, declaring the end and result from the beginning. That's our God. He calls things that be not as if they already were. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, and I will do all my pleasure and what? Purpose. He's faithful in his purpose that he's planted in each of our hearts. Core questions. We told our kids growing up, God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. The purpose is bigger than you. The purpose is worth living for. It's worth dying for. It's worth investing. It's worth making the right choices. Core questions, does God love me? Answer.
Yes.
Core question, does God keep his promise? Answer.
Yes.
Core question, does God have a purpose for my life? Answer.
Yes.
When you know God has a purpose for your life, then you see God in everything that he's working together for your life. Remember, if you're called according to his purpose, he takes the good and the bad, works it out for your good. So he's faithful with that purpose, so then he's faithful to be working in our situation and circumstances on our behalf. It may look like he's not working, but he's faithful to be working. It may look like nothing's happening, but something's happening because he's faithful with that purpose of eternity he planted in your heart. And with that purpose comes his workings in your circumstances. Come on, church, let's give God a big praise. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. Fourth question. Does God change? And the answer is no, God does not change. He's unchangeable. He does not change in his character. He's faithful and true to his character. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, I'm the Lord and I change not. Boy, that's good to know. He's faithful in who he is. He's faithful in what he's promised. He's faithful in the purpose that he's given us. He's faithful in loving us no matter what we do. And when you develop the faithfulness of God in those four questions, you know what? You'll be strong. You'll be an overcomer. You'll overcome any obstacle that the world puts in your way. Look what this verse says. Timothy, I've been telling you about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He isn't one to say yes when he means no. God's not two-faced. God doesn't say one thing and do another. God holds true to his character. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. One day he loves me, next day he hates me. No. One day he's for me, next day he's not. No. What is our church all about? Leading people to a God who is for them and help them discover his purpose for their life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he says he isn't one to say yes when he means no. He always does exactly what he says. Next verse, verse 20. He carries out, the team's coming out. He carries out. He fulfills. Look at this scripture, family. It's worth Wednesday night. I do love you, by the way. It says that he carries out and fulfills all of his promises. Carries out. God gave Kim and I promises back in the 70s. He's faithful to carry them out. God gave some of you promises in the 80s. Don't let off. Don't let go. Don't give up. It may not have happened when you thought it should, but it will. Because God is faithful. The core questions have got to be answered to activate our faith. Does God change? No. So he goes on to say, he carries out, fulfills all of God's promises, no matter how many of them there are. Oh my goodness, there's 7,000. No matter how many of them there are. And we have told everybody in St. Louis, today I got... Daniel showed me a picture through our television ministry. Thank you, TV partners. Don't forget, I gave mine tonight, $17 a week. Daniel gave me a picture today of a man in Canada that took a picture of our program on God TV, had his Bible there, had his notepad there, had his pen there, and had a picture of our program on his TV in his basement. And said, thank you, Church on the Rock. Thank you for the TV ministry. Oh my goodness, folks. We're telling everybody we can. God. The world may not be. Your friends may miss it. Your family may miss it. But God, he's faithful. Oh my goodness. Look what he says. He carries out, fulfills all of God's promises, no matter how many of them there are. And we have told everybody how faithful. And when we tell people how faithful God is, what are we doing, family? Giving glory to God. When we tell our kids, when we pass it down to the next generation, those we work with, wow, those we work for, those we go to school with, go to church with, those in our neighborhood, when we tell them God's been faithful for 34 years at my church, we're giving glory to God. Did y'all get anything? Give the Lord a good praise, would you?